Let us pray.
Convict us of our sins. Restore us in your mercy. Save us by your grace. Lord, whatever our need, wherever we are in our walk with thee, give something to us to feed us this day. Lord, we pray especially that you would break into our lives in some way, so that when we leave this place today, we will not be the same, because your grace touches us. Touch us this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the East, it's a custom not to sleep in a dark room. No matter how poor the family might be, there must be a light. This light is symbolic of victory, of good over evil, of life over death. An Eastern home is never in darkness except because of the death of the inhabitants or because the home is deserted. And so the Bible, being an Eastern book, you see a lot about light in its pages. In the Old Testament, some beautiful expressions: thy light shall break forth as the morning, or thy light shall rise. And over again, we're acquainted with the beauty and the power of light. The Lord Jesus made the claim in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In the Sermon on the Mount, he changed it around and he says, you are the light of the world. Is there a contradiction? Who is the light of the world? Is it Jesus? Or is it Christians? No contradiction there. Someone explained it this way. In the day, the sun is the light of the world. At night, the moon is the light of the world. The moon, like Christians, receives its light from the sun and reflects it. Sometimes that light is eclipsed by the world. Sometimes that happens in our lives. The light is eclipsed. Today we want to talk about children of light. In verse 8 of Ephesians 5, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. A statement of fact. You are the light of the world. It's a statement of fact. This is hard for our minds to accept because sometimes we don't live as children of light. But right after making the statement of fact, the Apostle Paul says, live as children of the light. The Bible always approaches us on that level. The basis of fact, of doctrine, and then your response to that which is true, and that's the practice. And so in all of the New Testament epistles of Paul, you find that the first section, he's laying a foundation of what is true. You are the light of the world. Then in the second half of the book, he says, this is the ramifications. This is how you live on the basis of that which is true. It's a little different than we live in our society, the way our culture has taught us to live. In other words, our culture says, well, you know, you change. And then because you change, therefore you will be. And if you live as light in the world, then you are the light of the world. The Bible puts it just the opposite way. You are the light of the world, therefore live as the light of the world. And this is why through its pages it says, the just shall live by faith. It's a faith principle. The things that you know and experience of the Word of God are known and experienced by faith. And so, the light of the knowledge of God in your life is something that is real, fact, but it is also something that is potential. The experience of it is a potential. Now you are. Live in the light of that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we see the importance of this expressed. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What a verse. The God who created light and who is light has shined into our hearts. And yet, the world, their minds have been blinded so that they would not believe. This tremendous potential. Jesus said, don't hide it. You are the light of the world. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it under the bed. Someone might just sort of took those, you know, a bushel is the kind of thing that you would hide, you know, that you could visualize that very interestingly, you know, and very visually. Someone pointed out that in the day that Jesus taught, the bushel was a symbol of commerce. And that symbol has continued on until this day. As they measure farm output in bushels, so many bushels of corn, you hear it from time to time, expressed that way. In other words, don't eclipse your light. Trade being a child of the light for financial gain, financial advantage. That's a big temptation. Well, just think of all the good things you could do with the money. Isn't that the rationale that your mind gives to you? Oh, a little compromise here, a little compromise there. Jesus says, don't hide it under the symbol of financial advantage. Don't hide it under the bed. The symbol of rest and relaxation, the symbol of marital fidelity. Don't hide it under there either. We begin to understand some of the things that the Word of God is saying to us. Great potential. Great potential. You are the children of light. Live in accordance with it. Let's think about what light accomplishes in our life. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God allows for choice. Do you ever realize that? It allows for choice. And that's what he's saying. Live as children of light. Without living as children of light, you don't have any choice. Your mind has been blinded. You've been programmed to a certain step, to a certain pattern, and you have no choice. There's a French proverb. At night, all the cats are gray. You know what they're saying? They're saying the light enables you to distinguish between things that differ. In other words, if the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is shining in your heart, you have the privilege and the freedom of choice. Because in the darkness, you cannot distinguish one thing from another. All the cats are gray at night. Think about that. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God enables me to have a choice. Think of it in terms of those areas in which our society and our culture struggle. Love. If you are living in the darkness today, you have no choice about love. You're programmed, you're thinking, all of it is in one direction, and no matter how you try, you're condemned to failure. Because you must have the knowledge of the glory of God to understand what love is all about. I would like everyone to read an article that appeared in the Eternity magazine of April, this month's Eternity magazine, entitled, "Christopher, I Heard You've Left Your Wife." It's an article that is devastating. It's a letter to a friend. The names are withheld. A personal letter to a friend. One friend to another. The one writing the letter talked to the man, Christopher, about his marital problems. Christopher had been a missionary. And he had talked about it, but now Christopher had left his wife and his children to go off with some younger woman to find himself. And the person writing the letter chronicled for Christopher, his friend, what had happened in his life when his father, who had been a very gifted and creative clergyman, had done the same thing. You see a lot on the television. You see a lot in the movies. You read a lot in the books. But no way do you have the light shining upon that subject like a Christian can observe and understand, because he has the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And he took his friend through step by step of his life as how it related to his father who left his mother and left the family behind. And he told the things that he observed until the man's death at 77 years old of what it was like. And he does it in such a skilled way that you'll never forget it. You see, the light of the glory of God gives a choice. He keeps coming back and saying to his friend, "My dad thought that he knew better than the Word of God. He thought that he could solve his problems apart from God and his Word." And he says, "You look at those people that do that, and they have the excuse of going off and finding themselves, and they never do find themselves. And the wreckage of the people around them is great." And then he talked about his brothers and sisters, broken marriages, alcoholism, physical illness because of their privation. And he talked about the scars. And he talked about this man's grandchildren. Not one of them wanted anything to do with anything about God. Devastating. And it's devastating because it penetrated the philosophy of our society, penetrated into the lives of a couple of men that should have known better. But if you have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, you have a choice, and you should know the difference between what the world says is living and what God says is living. Think about it in terms of the choice in education. and how difficult as our culture gets further and further away from an educational system that is rooted in the Word of God and the principles of God's Word. How more difficult it is for the students to find meaning in the assimilation of facts and information. How difficult it is. And what is the purpose of an education? And what is the relationship of an education to me eating and breathing? It's hard for the kids to understand because they don't have the knowledge of the glory of God. And if we just look back in our own country, we could understand that it was Christian people that wanted to educate their children that made this an educated country. And it's fast becoming an uneducated country because we've lost the distinctiveness of the knowledge of the glory of God. Think of the light as it hits sin. And you think of the purpose of God and the creation of God and what He's made us for, and all when the light shines upon all of that, it sort of acts as light upon some of these bacteria that can only grow in the dark. They can only grow in the dark. Isn't tetanus one of those? As soon as the light hits it, it's gone. It's killed. It's destroyed. Or take the distinction and the freedom of choice as regards to liberty. That most precious thing that we as Americans love and in some ways we've grown to detest at the same time. Because it does not have the light of the glory of God shining on it and giving you a choice and helping you to understand. For liberty means one thing to the person who doesn't have the light of God's knowledge in his mind and in his heart. And that is, I do what I want. And that's why we detest it in some ways today. Because in some areas it's made life miserable. What a difference it is to know liberty to be and to become. What a difference that is. All the cats are gray. In the dark. Well, the values, the light of the glory of God shining into our hearts and helping us to understand that to have a child that loves you is more important than $100,000 in stocks and bonds or in the bank account. Well, the distinction between success and integrity. Oh, we could go on, couldn't we? Over and over again. Without light, there's no view of reality. There is heaven and hell. And without the distinctions to make a choice today brought about by the knowledge of the glory of God, the light of that knowledge, we'll miss that distinction. But know for certain that one day that distinction between heaven and hell will be and ultimately will be the most important distinction in your life. Third, the light of the glory of God gives beauty. Oh, we've had a few courses in science and physics, and we know enough to realize that most of the beauty of this world. It was just tremendous, isn't it? As you look out and you see the colors even today, is the colors are the reflection of light. They say that the beautiful colors are giving back that light, whereas black absorbs it all, is the symbol of death, and it absorbs it all to itself. There's a little parable there about being a Christian. The text here says, not only live as children of light, but it says, find out what pleases the Lord. He created this whole fantastic world, and he said it was very good. The the beauty of God can only be seen in the light. How powerful it is. It's probably one of the most powerful things in the world. They tell us now that one single burst from a laser can drill a hole in a diamond. What will the knowledge of the glory of God, the light of that knowledge, do in your heart if you just open up and allow that truth to penetrate and hold it and act on it and live it? What will it do? You might be sitting there in the pew today with some terrible defeat that enslaves you over and over and over and over again. Know for certainty that light, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, is able to destroy the bacteria, the harmful bacteria. It's able to cut through a diamond. If you sit there today and your heart is like, I believe it was Jeremiah who said, a heart like a stone, and the word of God is like a hammer that can crack the stone. Well, even if it's a diamond, the light of God's truth can drill a hole in it, penetrate. You were once darkness. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children in the light. Allow God's truth to mold you and make you. Will you do that? Let's pray. The scripture reading for this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful, even to mention what is done in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which it leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may God help us to understand His truth.
Ransomed of God shall return. They shall come to Zion with song, everlasting joy on their head, everlasting joy as their crown. The ransomed of God shall return. They shall come to Zion with song, everlasting joy on their heads, everlasting joy as their crown. Sorrow and sighing shall be away. Sorrow and sighing shall be away. Sorrow and sighing shall be away. Joy and gladness all every day. Sorrow and sighing shall be away. Sorrow and sighing shall be away. Sorrow and sighing shall be away. Joy and gladness all every day. Return. They shall come to Zion with song, everlasting joy on their heads, everlasting joy as their crown.
Oh, the ransom of God shall return. They shall come to Zion with song, everlasting joy. sighing shall flee away. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There'll be joy and gladness on that day. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There'll be joy and gladness on that day.
And now Israel.